Good morning. It's really a pleasure and a privilege to be here this morning. I want to start out on a personal note with a special thanks to John. A while back, Susan and I were down at T4G in Louisville, and while we were there, in the middle of one of the sessions, we got a phone call from back home with a little bit of a family crisis that was going on. And it kind of rocked Susan and I for a while, and we really weren't sure what should we do. Should we both jump a plane and come home? Should one of us jump a plane and come home? We were leaving from T4G to go to New Jersey for the second week of a biblical counseling course that we're taking, and to be honest, we were just lost. And here we are in the midst of 10,000 people, probably 6,500 of those people were pastors. Susan and I were in desperate need of a pastor that day. And as the session concluded and we were walking out, we went into the main concourse of the Yum Center, which is this huge sports coliseum, and who's standing right in the middle of but John? And, we kind of just said, hi, what's going on? We immediately felt we needed to share the burden that was on our heart, and we did. And John was our pastor. For the next 10 minutes, John was our pastor. And I can't tell you the peace that we had walking away to head to our car that we didn't have just 12 minutes before, wondering, what are we going to do and who are we going to talk to? So, John, thank you very, very much. God put you right where you needed to be that day. And fortunately for Susan and I, it was in our presence. So thank you. Well, we're here to talk a little bit about summer off, and God blessed us by giving us summer weather for the first time. So it's appropriate that we're all up here sweating, me probably more than the rest of you. But I'd like to start off by telling you a story about how summer off ended 2 years ago. We were in the park the very last day of summer off, and it had been a great summer. And Tim Zulker was standing under the big tree, which those of you who have done summer off know, the big tree, the gathering place. And a woman from the city came up and said, this is really nice what you have going here and everything, and whose permission do you have to be here? And Tim just kind of backpedaled a little bit and, wanting to be honest, just said, we're just showing up. You know, we've been showing up for the last 6 years, and we've been doing this. And she probed a little bit more. Do you have a permit? Have you sought out any permission? And Tim said, oh, I didn't know I needed to do that. So she gave Tim her card and said, next summer, before you start, you need to call me, and I will tell you what parks you can be in, what parks you can't be in, and it may be different from day to day. Well, for those of you that know the structure of summer off, we set ourselves in a park for 1 week, and to be told on a Monday that, okay, Tuesday you can't come to Dexter Park, you have to go to Buckland Park, and then, Wednesday you go to Riverside Park, that's not going to work for what we're trying to accomplish. So we went into the off-season kind of wondering, okay, what's going to happen? What's God doing? We're flying above the radar now. When the first few years of summer off, we were small. We weren't that big. As the years grew, we were in multiple parks for multiple weeks, and we decided we need to do this above board. We're doing it for God, so we need to do it above board. So Tim called the director of Parks and Recreation. Didn't want to call this woman, just went right to the director of Parks and Recreation. Because we had a little bit of cachet with certain city officials, but not with all of them. And Tim explained that conversation, and the first thing the director said was, oh, she's no longer with us. So there was our first answer to prayer. She said, here's a couple other names you can call. In the meantime, Pastor David Rodriguez of Iglesia de la Comunidad, Hispanic Church in Providence, had called me up. He was very instrumental in getting Mayor Elorza elected. He worked on his team in the Hispanic community. And he said, the mayor is speaking at my church. I would like you to come and share about summer off. I'll give you 5 or 10 minutes to share about summer off. So I said, great. So for those of you unfamiliar with Hispanic churches, it's quite an experience. They were meeting in a community center. I showed up. There was security for the mayor there. I came walking in a suit holding my Bible. So the first, probably about a half hour before the service, and the security team says, oh, you're Pastor Rodriguez. And I said, no, I'm not, but I am part of the service today. So he took my name down and probably went out and ran a background check on me before the service started. I went in, sat down. Now, the service was supposed to start at 10. I got there 9:15. 5 minutes of 10, Pastor David's not there yet. I'm starting to get a little nervous. He kind of comes rushing in, comes up to me and says, can you share for 5 or 10 minutes after the mayor leaves? And I'm there like, okay, they've had a change of plans. I can't share while the mayor's there, but I'll do my sharing after the mayor leaves. It's not going to be quite as effective, but, you know, I'm a guest. I'm going to honor what they've asked me to do. So they start the service, 3 songs, took about 45 minutes to go through those 3 songs. The mayor came in about halfway through the first song. He sat like four seats down from me. Pastor David gets up after the singing, and the first thing he says is, we've got a special guest here this morning, and I'm getting ready to see the mayor come up. He says, we've asked our brother Rich Fulton to come up and say a few words about summer off. And now I'm lost. I am just like really confused about what's going on here. So I went up and I said my piece about summer off, trying to get the message across to the mayor about our concerns, but trying to be very politically correct because I didn't want to offend him. And there were 3 or 4 people sitting with him. I had no idea who they were. So I sat down, and one of the things I said, I asked 3 prayer requests, and the last one was, would you pray that we find good grace with the city? And I explained briefly about the situation from the previous summer, and I said, you just pray that that all works out. And so I went and I sat down, kind of felt relieved. I did my part. It's all over. Pastor David got back up and he looked at me and he said, no, Rich, that's not what you told me. You told me that someone specifically in the city was giving you a hard time. And we need to know about that. And now I'm like, what do you say? So I stand back up sheepishly and said, well, there's this one person, you know, and I said, you know, we can't do summer off in the way that she's describing it to do, nor can we afford to pull permits. Churches are already, depending on the church and what they do, churches are spending $1,000 to $2,000 of their own money for doing a week of summer off. If we put in, $50 a day to be in the park, it's not going to work. So I sat back down, sweating, embarrassed, and they called the mayor up, and the mayor spoke for about 10 minutes, and the very last thing he did is he stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, Rich, you have no worries. Nothing to be concerned about. I've got your back. I was just like, oh, thank you. Now I was really relieved. The woman that was sitting next to the mayor reached over, handed me her business card. She wound up being his assistant. We made an appointment to go to her office the following week, and it's like, great, I can just relax, enjoy the rest of the service. Mayor spoke. All the elders came up and prayed over him. They invited me to come up as part of their elder team, which was just a real honor. And then the mayor left, and Pastor David said, I was getting ready for a sermon, right? Pastor David said, we're going to sing one more song, and then Brother Rich is going to come up here and bring us a word. So what I didn't realize when he said, can you speak for 5 or 10 minutes after, was he was expecting a sermon now, which I had no idea going in. Was totally unprepared for. Fortunately, the one more song in the Hispanic tradition went for about 10 or 15 minutes, and it gave me about the 12-minute mark, I finally got an idea of, okay, this is what I should say. And it was quite the experience. But kind of what summer off is, kind of what doing ministry in the city is, it's messy. It doesn't go exactly like you plan, but it is incredibly rewarding. What I want to do right now is I'm going to show you a 6-minute video, and I'm doing this rather than me standing up here and talking for 6 or 7 minutes about the history of Summer Off. It can be told much better through this video. But I do want to say one thing. If you go to our website or if you go to Vimeo.com and put in the Phillips Center, you'll see 6 or 7 videos. Most of those videos are loaded with New Covenant people in them. Because they're just, we hire Becca Tracy to come in and shoot videos every summer. But last year we had her do 3 specific videos. Two were for missions teams that came in from out of state. And one was to tell the history of Summer Off and the way that we've transitioned to moving towards church plants through Summer Off. So this is going to have a different flavor. And unfortunately, I don't think there's one New Covenant face in there. And to that, I apologize, especially to Allison and Carlene, who are tremendous Summer Off heroines, really, is the word. They've done just great things in your time here in partnering with us. And you're a great blessing and encouragement to us. But unfortunately, in this video, you're not going to see them. So I just want to give you that up front. Don't get mad at me that, why didn't you put any New Covenant people in? Go check the other videos out. You guys are in there, okay? But if you can show this, and then I'll come back up. So I hope that gives you an idea, a much better idea than I could of explaining the history of Summer Off and the Huddleston family, which I know a few of you folks here know Dana and Chris really well, and the vision that they got and that summer that Dana was unemployed to do something together that they could do as a family. And, you know, if I had to talk about just a few things of what Summer Off is local church-based. It's an opportunity for family ministry. So when all the different churches that have gotten involved, you'll see moms and dads with kids to any age. I mean, there's 3 or 4-year-old kids running around. And it's just a great opportunity because it's so close by. You can do this work together, not only as a church family, but you can do it together as your own family. The other thing is it's a whole church experience. This is an opportunity for the whole church to gather in together. Now, not can everybody in the church get in and be down in the park every day? No, they can't. Now, I'll get to some other options a little bit later in my talk, but it really is a whole church experience, an opportunity for the whole church to get behind something. It's the gospel for you and the gospel for me. And that's a phrase that Tim coined, which means as we're out there giving the gospel to the kids in the park, the gospel is also giving back to us, and we are growing in our own walk with Jesus as we prepare and share the gospel with others. So there's a two-way growth that happens when you do Summer Off. It's about the openness of the city. If you go down into the inner city, you can, within a 10-minute conversation with one of the kids there or even one of the caregivers, you can know a good bit of their life story. Stuff like this doesn't happen in the suburbs. It just doesn't. You have to go through layers and layers and layers to break down and get real with people. In the city, you get real right away. It's just really amazing. It makes outreach easier. It's a great training ground for outreach because there's a vulnerability and acceptance there by the people you're ministering to. It has great local impact. We can change lives, which can change households, which can change streets and neighborhoods, hopefully. It's cross-generational. We see, the caregivers, you have grandmothers and the older siblings taking care of these kids. But on the church end, we have grandparents and parents and kids working together. It's a great way to do ministry across generational. Of course, it's multicultural. And if your church can supply any Spanish-speaking people there, it's a great help, because Providence has become predominantly Hispanic. It's missions, folks. We don't have to go to Africa. We don't have to go to Asia to do missions. We can do missions. We can do missions right on our own street. Matter of fact, we can do missions right in our own home. But we can make a missions impact right here in a 15-minute drive from where we live. And Summer Off is outreach, friends, and faith. That's what the OFF stands for. It's outreach, friends, and faith. We're doing outreach, we're doing it together as friends, and we're sharing our faith with people. So that's what I would add to the video. Now, I'm going to be honest with you here. I'm a little sheepish about coming to a church and doing an infomercial for the Phillips Center and for summer off. And it's Sunday morning, and the word needs to be heard. So I want to take a brief look at a short passage. But I'm going to say right up front, it's hard for me to exegete the entire passage and to accomplish what we want to accomplish by giving you guys more information about the Phillips Center and summer off. So what I want to do is go through the passage, but then use the passage as a foundation for what I want to say about summer off and about the Phillips Center. So if you have your Bibles, if you turn to Romans chapter 15, and we're going to start up in verse 14. And if I can't accomplish anything else here this morning, what I want to accomplish is the importance of gospel partnerships, and that by working together, we can do more than working by ourselves. And that goes within a church context, but it also goes in a greater context in the big church, the church beyond New Covenant Christian Fellowship, the church beyond Godspeed Fellowship, the Church of Jesus Christ. We can accomplish so much more working together. Our men have had a great time the last couple of years of getting together with the men from Crossway, men here from New Covenant, and our men, and we're just building relationships that won't happen if we stay within our own doors. So I really want to encourage gospel partnership and working together as the body of Christ. It speaks so loudly to our culture when they see us working together. Because a lot of times when they see Christians from other churches, they see us working against each other. And it's not a pretty picture, and it's not the picture that God wants us to portray. So let's look at begin in chapter 14 of verse 14 of Romans 15. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by the way of reminder, because of the grace given to me by God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience, by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who never heard of him will understand. This is the reason why I've so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for so many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia, I have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor amongst the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. In this passage, Paul is explaining his ministry to the Roman Christians. And he hasn't met them yet. He hasn't been to Rome yet. But Paul speaks very highly of them. Eugene Peterson puts it this way in his translation in The Message. He says, "Personally, I've been completely satisfied with who you are and what you are doing. You seem to be well-motivated, well-instructed, quite capable of guiding and advising one another." Well, I look around this room this morning and I see some familiar faces, but I don't know many of you. But I do know from local knowledge that these things that Paul is saying to the church in Rome, I could say about New Covenant Christian Fellowship. I know that you have been well taught, both by Chap and now by John, that the Word of God is being taught here and that you're encouraged to build one another up and to speak into each other's lives. And that's very, very encouraging. If you look in verse 16, Paul is talking about his offering to God, and his offering to God is the Gentiles. And what he is showing here, he's showing his priestly ministry. D.A. Carson writes and points out that Paul most likely is referencing here Isaiah 66, 19 and 20, and that passage talks about the declaring of God's mercies to the nations and bringing all the nations to Jerusalem as an offering to the Lord. And I think that's what Paul is doing in his priestly way here. So let's take that and let's think in terms of providence. And more specifically, the west end and the south end of Providence. If we looked at the demographics of these neighborhoods, we'd see people from the DR, from Haiti, from Guatemala, Puerto Rico, Liberia, Nigeria, Cape Verde, Portugal, Brazil, Nepal, and many other places. And then if we stepped outside of the south end and the west end and took all of Providence in, and especially focused around the east side and the hospitals, we would see that Providence truly is a global city. And the ends of the earth have come here. So the proclaiming of fulfilling the Great Commission and the command in Acts 1:8 of going to the ends of the earth, the ends of the earth are coming to us. It's one of the great things about doing ministry in today's society, in this global world. And so we have in the south end and the west end, we have the urban poor and the needy. On the east side, in the hospitals and the universities, we have families of the leaders of some of the nations around the world, people of great influence, that if we can share the gospel with them, they can bring it back to their country as they go back. And we're doing great things by traveling 15 minutes into downtown Providence. And do we need a priestly ministry in Providence and in greater Providence area? Well, most of us know the Bonner statistic facts. This past year, it came out that 100 cities polled, least Bible-minded cities in the country. Providence ranked 98 out of 100 cities. But there's good news there, because the year before we were 100 out of 100. The year before that they only pulled 96, and we were 96 out of 96. We are continually in the bottom of almost any statistical poll that Barna or Pew or anybody takes, the American Church in Crisis, any of those polls that come out, Providence, Rhode Island, New England, we're at the bottom. So we need a priestly presence in Providence. Paul here is boasting of his ministry, but is he boasting in himself? No, he's boasting in the work of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. He feels free to share his ministry because he knows his ministry is fully dependent on Christ and not at all about himself. You see, and even for us today, our ministry, the effectiveness of our ministry is completely dependent on the sufficiency of Christ found in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well then, am I up here today to compare myself to Paul or the Phillips Center to his three missionary journeys? Hardly. I can identify with Paul, and I am chief among sinners, and I have a little speech problem, but that's about it. But I do want to boast in the work that's happening through Summer Off and through the Phillips Center overseeing that. You saw in the video how the idea of the Summer Off was just started by a conversation that Dana Huddleston had with Pastor Jim Davis down at Faith and Hope Church. And he got all excited about it. We heard about it at Godspeed year one. A few of us kind of jumped in, but it was mostly the Huddleston family. Year two, Godspeed got more involved, and some of you in the room will remember there used to be a group of teens that met together called Meat Eaters. And the Meat Eaters crew, they got together for self-led Bible study, But as we were coming into the years of summer off, we said, what if we engage these kids that are in Meat Eaters into summer off? So year two, we had three meetings. For those of you that were here, you may remember meeting at the barn in Seekonk over a couple of Friday nights where we did some evangelism training. We worked together, worked in teams. I think we had about 40 kids coming out, worked in different teams. We brought in food. We had a lot of fun. We had bonfires at the end of the night. But what we were doing, and what was always been one of the goals of summer off, is to prepare the next generation for the work of ministry in the church, whether that be as church members, as potential pastors, as church planners, as missionaries. We wanted to start to capture the hearts of our youth at an early age into giving their lives to ministry to Christ. And that was kind of the transition that came on board there. And then what happened a couple of years later, there was a network of churches called Love Rhode Island. Some of you may be aware of that or not. And Love Rhode Island is a group of about 35 churches, and they wanted to have a summer project that showed the city that we could come as a church united to do work together in the city. And they had heard about what we were doing with summer off and said to Tim and I, could you guys lead all the churches that would engage in doing summer off? So 11 churches signed up. We did evangelism training for 11 different churches, and that year we took summer off into back into the parks. The great thing was we were doing Dexter Park for just 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. We were able to jump to 5 to 6 weeks in Dexter Park, and we were able to spread out to 3 or 4 other parks in the city too. So it was very, very encouraging. This year, and I'll get to this a little bit later, but this year during the first week of summer off, which is the last week of June, we're going to be in 6 parks for the first time, including 3 communities outside of Providence. So it's really, really exciting, and I'll get to a little bit of detail a little bit later. But summer off is growing, and it's growing in different ways. But let's get back to the passage for a minute. In verse 18, Paul talked about having fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and he accomplished that by word and deed. Now, does that mean Paul was done? Was Paul ready to retire here? Is it, I'm accomplished? That's not at all what Paul was saying. What Paul was saying here, he had seen successful churches planted, and he had trained overseers for those churches as he left them behind, like Epaphras for the church in Colossae. He had felt that he had saturated this territory to for what God had called him to do, but he had left behind faithful men to carry out the work of the church, and now he was setting his sights west to Spain. So Paul's focus was shifting. He wasn't done. His focus was just shifting. Last September, one of our most fundamental goals of summer off over the last few years was reached, and this was the planting of West End Community Church right off Dexter Park by John Ames. You see, it would break our hearts every summer to say goodbye to these kids at the end of the summer and after spending 5 or 6 weeks with them, and then know we weren't going to see them again until the end of next June or the beginning of July. 2 years ago, we tried unsuccessfully to start a kids club that would be a bridge from summer off from year to year. And so a group of 7 of us got together and prayed regular for that, of which Shai was one of those 7 who faithfully prayed 2 to 3 times a month for 7 months. And God just closed every single door that we prayed for in trying to get that kids club established. But the neat thing was, through a Phillips Center connection, Dr. Brent Allen, who's head of Converge in New England, Susan and I and Tim were at a church planting conference in Boston, and Brent said, hey, I know you guys are really concerned about getting a church planted in the West End of Providence. I got a guy you got to meet. His name's Johnny Ames, and he's already been studying the area. So through Brent, we got introduced to John, and we began some meetings with him. And it was just really amazing that we were so kind of despondent about the whole kids club thing, but now God put a church planter in our midst that literally was focusing on the neighborhood that we wanted to be in. It was really, really neat. If you remember in the video, there was a girl with a white shirt. Her name was Megan. She said she was from North Kingston. Megan's mom and I served on a board together, and she told me about Megan's passion for inner city ministry. And she had been at Karen University for a year, but her time at Karen led her to wonder, why should I be doing inner city ministry in Philadelphia when there's work to be done in Providence? But God put it on her heart, and this isn't to be put on everybody's heart, but God specifically put it on her heart to leave Karen to come back to do ministry in Providence. So we hired her as an intern. This year she's gonna actually supervise all our interns this year. But Johnny also came to us and said, can she be on our core team? And Megan became a part of John's core team, and she actually is his children's leader. So all of a sudden we're seeing God start to put all these puzzle pieces together in the neighborhood that we've been working in and praying in for such a long time. But he was doing it through the body of Christ. He wasn't doing it through Godspeed Fellowship. He was doing it through the body of Christ. He was bringing multiple churches and multiple resources together to work together for the furtherance of his gospel in the West End of Providence. But is one church plant in Providence, is it going to do the trick? Is that, you know, one church plant in the West End, it's great, one more than we had last year. But is that going to reach all of Providence? Well, Jim Davis taught us something early on about doing work in the inner city with the urban poor. And that is, if the people can't walk to something, they can't get to something. And that was really, really hard for us to understand. It's no big deal for us to get to Providence, jump in and do something in Providence. If the urban poor need to go 10 minutes away from their house, if it's not on a bus line, they may not be able to get there. So are we content with West End Community Church being planted? No, there's 34 other parks in Providence. Each one of them needs a viable gospel church. Now, some of them do have good churches there, and our work in the parks can be connect those churches to the kids in the park. But we also need to look at, where's the next church plant? And that, we've already changed our focus. We've shifted our focus to say, where is the next church plant? Where do we go from here? And we're praying about that. And we don't have the answer yet. It could be one where there's a viable church. Iglesia de la Comunidad has changed locations to the South End, and there's some parks near there. Riverside Park, we've been having great success there over the past few years. That may be a place where a church plant goes. We're praying about this and asking God, where does he lead us here? In verses 25 and 27, we see Paul has been in Macedonia and Achaia. He has been with the churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and Corinth. And the Gentiles had given a gift there to him to bring back to the Jewish church in Jerusalem, who were in need of a gift because there had been a great famine there, and they were in need. Paul had a great belief that the Gentile church had an obligation to the Jewish church for sharing their heritage. But he also had a very, very firm belief that in living out our Christian life, we need to give to brothers and sisters and other Christians in need. And I know this church believes in that. I know I've seen it happen. And but that's what the Church of Greater Providence and Church of Rhode Island has to see, is we need to come together to pull resources, people resources, money resources, skills. We need to do that to effectively minister the gospel together, because we're all gifted differently. Earlier I mentioned the Barna report results. And that's seemingly bad news for us. But God has a way of taking bad news and turning it into good news. And the good news is, New England is now seen as a missions destination for many churches and organizations throughout the country. They kind of feel sorry for us. They feel bad about us Christians here struggling in the midst of 97% non-Christians doing the work. So they're sending church planners, they're sending resources, they're sending missions teams. Last year, the Phillips Center brought in mission teams from the Village Church in Dallas, Texas. You saw the team from Chattanooga, from Princeton, New Jersey. I mentioned earlier, week one we're going to be in six parks. That's because a church from Alexandria, Virginia is sending a missions team of 87 people. When John Ames told me, this was done through John Ames, and John, I just kind of looked at him and said, what are you thinking? How can we handle 87 people coming in? But it's a youth choir. They're coming in. We're dividing the teams into four. We're putting them with four different churches. They're going to be two in Providence, one in East Providence, one in Cranston. And first time we've been in Cranston and East Providence. First time we're going to hit a new park in Providence. They put themselves up in dorms at Rick. That was my biggest question, because when Godspeed houses a missions team, we put them up in our own homes. And it's tough finding homes for 15 to 18 people. When Johnny told me 87 people were coming, I'm like, dude, where? You know, where are they going to go? But this team is so organized. They, on their own, they rented dorm space at Rick. So they're coming up here because they want to do ministry for New England, because they know how hard it is to do ministry here. That same week, Mary Kapp is going to have a homeschool team at Dexter Park. And they'll also be, Christian Heritage and Christian Hill will be, for the fourth year in a row, they'll be at Riverside Park. So great, great things are happening. The Phillips Center has been able to partner, and I know I'm running short on time, so I'm going to try to wrap up really quick here. The Phillips Center has partnered with ministries in Scotland to see what's happening in Eastern Europe, because what happens in Eastern Europe enters the United States through New England. And what's happening in Scotland now is absolutely appalling. What was one of the greatest sending nations in the world now reaches almost every single definition of an unreached people group. It's just amazing. We have one of our women at Godspeed is over there serving as a female gospel outreach worker. And it's just amazing where that country has turned to. But guess what, guys? Read the papers. You know, look at the news reports. It's happening here. It comes from there. So we're partnering to see what's happening in Scotland so we can see what effective strategies are they using there that we can implement here so maybe we can get ahead of the curve. We have a partnership with East Texas Baptist University. The last 2 years, Susan and I have gone down to Dallas twice to be a sending location for their intern program. So they can send interns here in the summer to learn how to do work. Last year, they sent two interns up. In October, one of those interns is joining the staff of John Ames Church as a teen and sports director. So people are coming to New England, and they're falling in love with the need of the gospel work that's happening here. Great things are happening. The Phillips Center is privileged to be a part of that. And I'm only going to say this again. I'm not boasting of the Phillips Center. I'm boasting of how Christ has worked in our hearts through us, through the Holy Spirit, to be that focal point that can go to the city instead of the city worrying about 11 to 15 different organizations trying to come and do some work for them. We can come united as one. When the city has a need, they either pick up the phone or they write an email to Susan, my wife, and we get on it right away. And they've asked us, we have 34 parks. You've been in three or four parks. We have 34 parks. How many can you be in? Last summer, we were wondering when Mary Kapp wanted to know, what week can I start? She always likes to do the first week. Can you find out what week is the first week? Susan wrote an email. 10 minutes later, they wrote, looks like it's going to be the week of June 25th. By the way, can you expand to Cranston, Pawtucket, East Providence, Woonsocket, North Kingston? We don't want to say no. God doesn't open doors in New England like this an awful lot. We don't want to say no and leave a door unopened, but we also know we can only do so much. And that's why we need partnership from other churches. That's why we need New Covenant Christian Fellowship. We need the other churches. We need the churches coming in from other areas to partner with us to grow the gospel work that Providence is asking for. One last thing before I close is I went and I met with the mayor's assistant, and I had to make it very clear to her what we're doing. And I said, I want you to understand, this is what we're doing. We do the all the fun stuff, the games and the nail painting and the face painting, but we teach the Bible, and we teach it every day. And if we can't do that, we can't be here. It's who we are. We're not here just to bring food and games in. we're here to bring the Bible. She looked at me, and I was waiting for the next shoe to drop. And she said, praise the Lord, I'm going to be dancing in my office when you guys walk out the door. Who'd have thought it? And how long is this going to last? I don't know. Were we in the good graces of Mayor Alorza? Yes. If he gets voted out, are we going to continue? I don't know. We've come viable. We received an award 2 years ago from the city because in the parks where we were, the free lunches that they served skyrocketed compared to all the other parks. That's why they want us there. We're giving out more free lunches. It's that whole deeds and work thing. Word and deed. Paul did things through word and deed. The word is the most important thing we have, and the Phillips Center, summer off, will not do anything if we can't bring the word. But the word doesn't become active in these people's lives until they say the deeds that come along with it and the Christian lifestyle that comes and supports and gives backing to the words that we're speaking. So I implore you as a church, how can you help summer off? I'd ask you to pray in a few different ways. You know, Allison asked for a sign up. Can you be in the park? Maybe you can't make all week. Maybe you can be there one day. Some of the guys that have jobs, it's the hardest thing. We see some guys take a week's vacation to be there. Not everybody can do that. God bless you guys that are able to do that. Some guys have flexibility to have an extended lunch hour. And so, you know, usually we're in the parks 10:30 to 2. So maybe they get there 11 and can stay till 1 or 1:30. Male presence in the parks is big. It's key. It really, most of these people don't have father figures in their life. You see the caregivers, they're older siblings and their grandmothers and their aunts. There's hardly any dads in the park. They need male presence. Pray. Can I be there? Can I get there for that week? Can I get there for one day, for 2 days? Can I make an extended lunch hour? But not everybody can be there. If you can't be there, can you do auxiliary work? Can you cut up watermelon and bring watermelon? Can you help prepare the crafts so the crafts are all ready to go? Talk to Allison and Carlene. They know. They've worked this better than anything else. Matter of fact, one of the fun things about sharing this through many churches, every year we have a leadership meeting. We bring all the leaders together. And the things we learn from each other about what works and what doesn't work is such a blessing. To hear things that you guys have done. The story about the Bibles last year that you came to the park with X amount of Bibles that day, and that's how many kids were in the park. That's only God. That's only God. Only He can orchestrate those things. So how can you help in a support role? Maybe it's just writing a check. Like I said, we've seen churches spend anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 a week to be in the park. So maybe you can't do anything else, but you can give $50, $100. You know, that's great. And if you can't do any of that, you can certainly pray. Pray for the work going on in the park. Make sure you have a prayer team going forward, especially for your week. Be praying for your folks that are in there laboring hard for the sake of the gospel, that their work would be fruitful, that hearts would be changed, lives would be changed, households would be changed, neighborhoods would be changed, cities would be changed, states would be changed. Praise God, a nation can be changed. So we can change the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much to be able to share here with my brothers and sisters from New Covenant this morning. Thank you so much with their partnership with Godspeed and with the Phillips Center in the past has meant to Tim and I and Susan and Cindy and all the folks at Godspeed. Father, we pray going forward that you'd bless the ministry of New Covenant, that you'd bless the ministry of Summer Off, that you'd bless the ministry of the Phillips Center. But Father, what we really want to pray for is you would bless the ministry of your word. May it go forth and spread, and may lives be changed. Not for our glory, but for the glory of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.